But if you've been with us over the last 3 weeks, you've known that we've been ramping up already for the fall, for our small groups in which we grow in Christ, and now for these outreach teams in which we're sending people out to reach others for Christ. And as we go through, as we've been going through Mark these last 3 weeks, we've seen our need to be focused on the mission, to be fed by Jesus, to be growing in Jesus. Dave preached last week on our need to be foolish for the gospel. And now, today, we're going to be talking about being faithful in obedience. And not just in the areas where following Christ is easy, but particularly when obeying Jesus leads us into hardship. And so let's start diving into Mark chapter 6, verses 45 through 52 this morning. If you didn't happen to bring a Bible with you this morning, you can grab one of these black Bibles that should be underneath the chair in front of you or close to you. If you happen to grab a small print version, we'll be on page 842. And if you grab a large print version, we'll be on page 1001. So I'll give you a little bit to turn to that, and then I'll go ahead and read as we dive into God's Word this morning. All right. Immediately, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat, and before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he dismissed the crowd. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them, walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost, and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. When they had crossed over, they came to the land of Gennesaret and moored to the shore. And when they got out of the boat, the people immediately recognized him and ran about the whole region and began to bring the sick people on their beds to wherever he was. And wherever he came, in villages, cities, or countryside, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and implored him that they might touch even the fringe of his garment. And as many as touched it were made well. With this story, we've jumped around a little bit in Mark, but just to kind of refresh your memories, this story actually takes place right after the miracle feeding of the 5,000. And so the temptation for the disciples may have been just to hang out on the shore, hang out with all the crowds, to just celebrate the work that Jesus has done in feeding the 5,000. But Jesus makes them get into the boat while Jesus stays back and dismisses the crowd. Once again, Jesus is forcing the disciples out onto the lake. And granted, they have a chance to get out of the boat if they want to, but it was their obedience to Jesus which leads them into the storm they're about to encounter. And now skipping down to verses 47 through 48, we see that while Jesus is alone on the land praying, the disciples are out on the sea. And suddenly a windstorm comes howling against them, making their trip across the lake extremely difficult. In fact, by the time Jesus comes out to them, it says that it was the fourth watch of the night, which is about 3 a.m., which means that the disciples have been out on the lake rowing for about 7 to 8 hours. And if we were to read this account in the Gospel of John, we would see that they are still 3 to 4 miles from the shore. So imagine that. Imagine rowing hard against the wind for 7 to 8 hours straight, and still be about 3 to 4 miles from your destination, barely making any headway. So they're facing extreme exhaustion and misery from rowing for so long. But once again, the disciples are in this miserable position because they obeyed Jesus. If they had disobeyed Jesus, if they had never got into the boat, they probably would have found someone's house to stay in for the night. They probably would have had a full meal, a full stomach. They would be dreaming this time, probably thinking back to the day, the previous day's events where Jesus fed the 5,000. And what a great lesson that is for us today. Because sometimes I feel like we can fall into this temptation where we believe that if we follow Jesus perfectly, that everything will be great. That we will never struggle, we will never encounter hardship. That it's only when we sin that we endure hardship and suffering. But what this passage reminds us, what many other passages remind us, including if we remember the story of Daniel and the lion's den, that sometimes our disobedience to God leads us to a more comfortable life, while obedience to Jesus leads us into hardship. And I'm just going to give you a few examples. A person who obeys Christ by continually resisting sin endures greater temptation than the person who caves to sin immediately. The person who tries to withstand endures temptation this moment, and this moment, and this moment, and this moment. The person who caves immediately just faces temptation this moment, caves, and then they're done. The person who obeys Christ by living a life of generosity has to depend more on God to provide on a daily basis than someone who stores up treasures on this earth, who puts all their extra money into savings. When trials come, this person has all their money in savings. This person has been generous and has to keep going back to God to provide. The individual who obeys Christ by sharing their faith and reaching the lost puts themselves at greater risk of rejection and persecution than the person who never leaves their Christian bubble. And so as we invite you to serve on one of these outreach teams for this next year, to reach the lost with the gospel, we're well aware that we're inviting you. We're inviting you into greater hardship. We're inviting you to step out of your comfort zone. We're inviting you to build relationship with people you may not otherwise engage with. We're inviting you to serve them and to share Christ with them in a way that you may get rejected. But as Jackie and Pastor Chris pointed out, as this passage teaches us, the call to follow Jesus is a call to go reach the lost. And obedience to Jesus often leads us into hardship. The second point I want us to take home from Mark today is this, that Jesus responds to our hardship with prayer, presence, and power. Let's be honest. Jesus pushing the disciples out into the storm while he hangs out on the shore seems like a pretty jerk move of him, right? Especially when he doesn't get in the boat. I mean, what kind of leader does that? What kind of leader says, hey, I'm going to teach you a great lesson here. Deal with the storm. I'll see you in about 7 to 8 hours after you're miserable, after you've been out in this windstorm for a long time, after you're completely exhausted. I'm just going to hang out on the shores over here and pray. Kind of a jerk move on the surface. But as the passage unfolds, we see an engaged Jesus in the midst of the disciples' hardship, not a disengaged one. First, we see Jesus up on the mountainside praying. And while Jesus was probably praying for many things, we see at the start of verse 48 that he was well aware of the storm the disciples were encountering. While the disciples were down on the sea beginning their struggle, we see Jesus up on the mountainside praying for their faith and their hardship. Something we also see in Luke chapter 22, where Jesus goes to Simon or Peter and says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. That no doubt Jesus is praying that in the midst of this hardship, in the midst of this storm that is hitting the disciples, that their faith would not fail. And now going back to our second point, the second way we see Jesus respond to the disciples' hardship is with his presence. Ultimately, Jesus doesn't stay up on the mountain. Rather, in verse 48, it says that he comes to them. He comes to the disciples walking on the sea. And yet, once again, it looks like Jesus is going to be a jerk because at the end it says, he meant to pass by them. And I think most of us, we can think back to times that we've experienced hardship and think, well, yeah, Jesus has passed by me several times too. That we tend to believe that God is not present in the midst of our hardship, but is simply passing us by. But that's not what Mark is trying to say here. Mark is more than likely making a reference to God revealing himself to Moses in the desert. Look with me at Exodus 33:18 to see the similar language here between Jesus passing by the disciples. Verse 19 says, and he said, he being God, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. Behold, there is a place by me where you shall stand on the rock, and while my glory passes by, I will put you in a cleft of the rock. And I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. So when Mark says that Jesus meant to pass by them, he's not saying Jesus meant to ignore them. Rather, he's saying the opposite, that Jesus actually wants to reveal more of himself to the disciples. He wants to reveal his glory and his presence to them. All of the action to this point, Jesus pushing the disciples out into the water, Jesus staying behind for a little while, the arrival of the storm and Jesus walking on water has been occurring so Jesus can reveal more of himself to the disciples. He has intentionally put them in the midst of hardship so they would realize more of who he is, so they would experience more of his presence in the midst of this. Which then brings us to the third way that Jesus responds to the disciples' hardship, with his power. Verse 51 says that the moment that Jesus got into the boat with the disciples, the wind ceased. The moment his feet hit the bottom of the boat, the gales of wind that had been intensely beating down on the disciples for 7 to 8 straight hours, causing them all this misery, were now still. Zero ripples on the waves. Completely calm. All the water that is coming into the boat is now over. All the heavy winds blowing in their faces is now over. All the hours of heavy rowing are now over. And it's because of Jesus. It's because of the 7 to 8 hours of prayers that Jesus offered on the shore. It's because of the presence of Jesus in the moment of hardship. And it's because of the power of Jesus over the winds. I guarantee you, at the moment that the winds died down, the disciples aren't sitting there thinking, "I did it! I survived! I rowed hard enough! I made it through the hardship all by myself!" They were thinking, "Praise God that he sent Jesus to deliver us from our hardship." Once again, Jesus responds to every hardship we encounter with prayer, with presence, and with power. And so with that wonderful truth driven down into our hearts, let's spend the rest of our time talking about our response to this story. The story is told in 3 books of the Bible. We see it here in Mark. I referenced that John tells the same story, and Matthew does as well. And between those 3 accounts, we see 2 different ways we tend to respond to Jesus' call to obey him in hardship. We respond to God's call in fear when we do not expect him to work. We respond to God's call in faith when we do expect him to work. The first response, that of fear, is found in the Gospel of Mark. The disciples are out on the lake, and they do not expect Jesus to show up. They expect him just to stay on the shore and pray and join them at a later time. And thus they believe, it is up to us, it is up to me and the rest of the disciples in this boat to get us across the lake, to battle this windstorm. We are on our own to make it. And thus, when Jesus shows up, Mark records in verse 49, they believe it's a ghost. If they were expecting Jesus to show up, they probably would have recognized Jesus, but they think it's a ghost because they're not expecting anyone to show up. Even though Jesus has just provided food for 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish, they still do not expect Jesus to show up in the midst of hardship. Mark records in verse 52, their hearts are still hardened. They still do not believe in Jesus' power. And church, as we invite you to serve on these outreach teams, I'm sure that many of you likewise are tempted to respond in fear. You're afraid of getting out of your comfort zone. You're afraid of building relationships with people you don't know. You're afraid you'll get into conversation with someone and you won't know what to say. You're afraid of getting rejected by others. And so because you fear those things, you're tempted to mask that fear with excuses such as, you know what, I just don't think I'm ready for that yet. I need to spend some more time growing. Or I just have a really busy schedule this upcoming fall. Or I'm just not sure what to do with my kids, or you know what, I'm retired, I'm done serving in ministry, I had my time. But deep down, at the heart level, all of these come back to fear. We're afraid to serve on these teams because we do not expect God to work. We do not expect Him to support us in prayer through hardship. We do not expect Him to make His presence known in the midst of hardship. And we do not expect Him to display His power in the hardship. We fear these things because we think we're going to be on our own. We're going to be serving in our own power. We're going to be the ones left on our own to take care of our kids and to build relationships with others and to share the gospel, and we don't know the words. But there is another way to respond. Look up with me at Matthew's account in chapter 14. And this takes place right after Jesus has walked on the water to the disciples, and right after one of them has cried out, "It's a ghost!" But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage. It is I. Don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got down out of the boat. He walked on the water and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said. "Why did you doubt?" Just like in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus encourages the disciples in the midst of the storm. "Take courage. I am here. Do not be afraid." And Peter responds, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come to you on the water." And so Jesus says, "Come." And in verse 29, we see that Peter gets down out of the boat and he walks on water. Peter walks on water. And I'm sure that some of you are thinking, "Well, yeah, but he almost drowns in verse 30. Look at that. That's what I'm afraid of. I'm afraid of the drowning in verse 30. He has to cry out. He has to say, "Jesus, save me." But notice what also causes him to sink. He sees the wind. He sees the hardship and once again becomes afraid. He loses sight of the presence of Jesus. Because when Peter had his sights on Jesus, when he took courage in Jesus, when he stepped out in faith in Jesus, Peter walked on water. Peter responded to Jesus' invite to come because he expected God to work in this situation. And because he had faith in Jesus, Peter had no fear. And for a brief moment, Peter walked on water. Church, as you consider God's call to go reach the lost by serving on one of these outreach teams, you have two options. We can respond in fear, never getting out of the boat, never serving on one of these teams, because we're afraid of failing, because we're afraid we aren't qualified, because we're afraid to get out of our comfort zone, or because we're afraid of getting rejected. Or we can respond in faith. We can serve on one of these teams believing that regardless of the hardships we will encounter, that Jesus will work. Believing that he's going to be praying over all of these teams for this entire next year. Believing that he's going to make his presence known as we serve this entire next year. And believing that he's going to display his power to overcome the hardships, to change lives with the gospel this entire next year. Church, if you stay in the boat, you won't drown. But you'll never know the great joy of walking on water. You'll never know the great joy of watching a cedar Hills resident living in poverty experienced the richness of knowing Jesus for the first time. You will never experience the joy of seeing a Mulberry student who has been taught that evolution is the way. Find out that there is a God who created the world and created them and sent Jesus to die on the cross for them so they can be saved. And you'll never experience the joy of seeing a resident of the village trust in Jesus for the first time, perhaps just days before they exit this life and start their eternity. And you'll never know the joy of seeing guests and absentees and the broken return because we took the time to show Christ's love to them. We're launching these outreach teams because we want to see more stories like John. We want to see more stories like ours of people who are lost and are now found. People who are growing in Jesus, who are eventually going to be sent out to reach others for Jesus. We're launching these outreach teams because we believe Jesus is going to show up and work in every single hardship we encounter every single day. Because we believe these brief moments of walking on water and the changed lives that will result from them are far worth the risk of drowning. And even when we drown, let's not forget what happened. Jesus reached out and saved him. There is really no risk of drowning when we follow Jesus. There's hardships, but Jesus is praying for us. Jesus is present with us. And Jesus will show his power in every situation. Church, we're inviting you. Come join us on these outreach teams. Let's go serve the lost, those who need Jesus. Let's go share with them the good news that in every single hardship we encounter and they encounter, Jesus will respond in prayer, in presence, and in power. Let's go reach those with the gospel. Join us on one of these outreach teams. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you that in the midst of our hardship, that you are a God who has saved us. That you are a God who has sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for us. And where we were lost, we are now found. But Father, as we've heard from the various teams this morning, we've heard broken hearts because there are other people in this city who are lost. There are other people in this city who need Jesus. And Father, we pray that you'd be working in our hearts, that you'd be breaking our hearts for these people to go reach them. And Father, all of us, we could pool together and fill up these walls with excuses, with reasons why we should not come, why we should not go. Father, all those come down to fear. That we don't trust that you truly can work in us, that you're truly going to work in these lives. That you truly are enough for us, even when we're rejected. But Father, as we've seen in your word today, there is no need to fear those things because you are a God who is always interceding for us. You're a God who is always present with us, and you're a God who always desires to display your power in our lives. So, Father, help us to respond in faith this morning. Help us to leave this place and to commit to an outreach team, to serve and to reach the lost, to go after those who have strayed away, to go after those who have never heard of Jesus, believing that you're going to do a great work. In Jesus' name we pray.